on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is an important notice to all U.S. taxpayers. The IRS is giving away billions of dollars in tax savings through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative to aid delinquent taxpayers. This initiative was established for anyone facing financial hardship and unable to pay their back taxes. Qualifying and enrolling in this program will stop all collections, settle your delinquent tax problem, and even reduce what you owe by thousands of dollars. Call the hotline at People's Tax Relief to see if you qualify and get this free information by dialing 800-810-3588. If you have unfiled tax returns or cannot afford to pay your personal or business back taxes, you can now get the help you need. One simple phone call can resolve your tax problem and save you thousands of dollars. To see if you qualify and to get this important free information, call 800-810-3588. 800-810-3588. 800-810-3588.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. There are just 3 days to the first debate between President Biden and former President Trump. The Biden campaign says the president is still huddled at Camp David. He's talking strategy. He's doing mock debates. The Trump campaign says the former president is meeting with advisors, but he's focusing on campaigning in the days before the debate. It's been 2 years since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris campaigning in Maryland.
Today in America, one in three women of reproductive age lives in a state with an abortion ban. Many with no exception even for rape or incest. Today, our daughters know fewer rights than their grandmothers.
Harris says the former president is to blame for appointing 3 Supreme Court justices who would eventually overturn Roe. This is ABC News. The ship responsible for bringing down Baltimore's Key Bridge has left the city's harbor.
They're reporting that the middle section of the bridge collapsed into the water.
When the Dolly cargo ship slammed into the Key Bridge back in March, the city of Baltimore was stunned. Now, 3 months later, the Dolly is gone, transported from the port of Baltimore to the port of Virginia, where the 1,500 cargo containers still on board will finally be offloaded. In Norfolk, the ship will undergo salvage and repairs needed after the crash, while the investigation into the accident continues.
That's ABC Sherry Preston. Who is Alex Trebek? He, of course, the late host of Jeopardy. Now the Postal Service is honoring him with a forever stamp. It'll look just like the blue Jeopardy question monitor with the words, "This naturalized citizen hosted the quiz show for 37 seasons." This new stamp will be issued on July 22nd on what would have been Trebek's 84th birthday. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not a rate based on Terry who keeps and makes the car behind them. Oh no, they're about to. Save with DriveWise in the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. 6 more tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin Saturday night. National Weather Service confirmed them all Sunday, with the strongest being an EF2 twister that came down in Janesville with 115 mile per hour winds. Four EF1 intensity tornadoes with 105 mile per hour winds were also certified by the agency. Two are in Walworth County, with one near Geneva Lake and the other just east of Delavan. A third was west of Watertown, the fourth south of Marshall in Dane County. And lastly, an EF0 tornado that touched down in the Grant County community of Cornelia near Platteville was also confirmed. The latest twisters bring the state's total count of confirmed tornadoes this year up to 30. Two deaths in 2 months at a Racine County park. According to the Racine County Sheriff's Office, a 25-year-old man was found unresponsive in the water at Quarry Lake Park Saturday afternoon. Despite life-saving measures, the man died at the scene. Officials believe his death was the result of a medical event. In May, the body of a 16-year-old boy was recovered from the lake there after he reportedly jumped from a cliff into the water and never resurfaced. The Marshfield City Council will consider changes to their food truck ordinances tomorrow.
According to the City Council's agenda, they will consider suspending their rules to immediately pass a proposal that eliminates a restriction on where and when mobile food vendors can operate. Last week, it was announced that due to an updated city code, food trucks would be limited to selling their goods during city-sponsored events, meaning no random pop-up sales or participating in events owned by private groups that may be taking place in public spaces. The issue caused immediate backlash by food truck owners late last week, prompting an emergency discussion. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Don't miss the 2024 Northern Wisconsin State Fair, July 10th through the 14th. On Thursday, July 11th, it's Grammy nominee and CMA Award winner Lee Bryce on the Riding Cougar main stage. Tickets are selling fast at nwsfa.com. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Flash flood watch in effect tonight in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Showers and thunderstorms developing, 90% chance. Some storms may be severe and also produce a heavy rain. We'll have temperatures in the upper 60s. From the Buffalo County Sheriff's Department, Highway D is closed to vehicles and UTV traffic from County Double K to Highway F until further notice due to a roadway washout. Again, Highway D closed from Highway Double K to County F until further notice.
Well, thank you for joining us here today for AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We have a lot to get to on today's program. Coming up here later in the show, we are going to have a conversation with Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. Get her thoughts on the farm bill, where things stand there. Also got a few other issues that she's keeping an eye on, including service from Class 1 railroads and more. So we'll get to that conversation coming up here in Segment 4. In Segment 3, we're going to listen to a conversation I had late last week. I was able to catch some time with Taz Smith from the National Cotton Council. We're going to discuss the growing conditions for the cotton crop across the southern tier of the U.S., some of their issues and policy priorities they are watching on Capitol Hill, things with the farm bill, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to talk to Taz Smith from the National Cotton Council coming up here in Segment 3 today. In Segment 2, weather. Weather is the big, big story right now. DTN meteorologist John Baranek is going to join us for weather and give us a rundown of what we are seeing across the upper Midwest, and a lot of flooding going on. You got heat to the south and the east as well. So plenty to talk about when it comes to weather here on the show today. We'll get to John coming up in a minute. And I mentioned the flooding and just the pictures and the video I'm seeing from family members and friends throughout northwest Iowa, southern Minnesota, southwest Minnesota, southeast South Dakota, just the devastation that we're seeing here. And you know, I think of folks who listened in on many of our great affiliates in that area as well. KICD in Spencer, as well as KWOA Worthington, folks on WNAX and more. Just a lot going on with this flooding that's happening right now. And I think about, you know, the Rock River and the Big and the Little Sioux Rivers, the Des Moines River, you get more into north central Iowa, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of folks are having challenges right now with the flooding, loss of homes, businesses, and crop loss potentially as well. So our thoughts are with folks as you deal with the floodwaters. Let's bring in Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart. And Darren, I'll ask you right off the top here, all this flooding in a very key area of the Corn Belt, the markets, could we see the markets take notice of this? Are we seeing that here to start the week? I mean, what's the potential here? Or is this area, as key as it is, unfortunately, just too isolated to have a big market impact?
That's a great question, Jesse, because, you know, that was one of the things that I was wondering about at Sunday's open. And I'm, as everyone knows, I don't put a lot of stock into how things open, even here first thing on Monday morning. But it was interesting, you know, corn, particularly if we look out at the Dease corn market, it didn't do much of anything starting the week. And then as we opened up Monday's session, the bottom immediately fell out. Dease corn fell below its previous low of 446. Last I saw was down around 443, 444, under a great deal of pressure here to start the week. So is it ignoring what's, you know, the flooding and so on? I don't think so. Is it an insignificant area? Not at all. I don't know what's got corn under pressure right now, except for the overall idea that, you know, there's still going to be a large crop. Now, again, by the time we get to Friday's close, this could all change. We could see a reversal pattern form. And so that's always a possibility when we get a situation like this. You know, we can contrast that. You mentioned Taz Smith was coming on the show a little bit later. We can contrast that with what we see in new crop cotton, where there was a tropical storm that moved, onshore in eastern Texas. And we've got Dease cotton up over a penny. We've got it up 1.2 cents, which is a solid move. It's up almost 1.7% here to start the week. So, you know, that was more in line with what we might have thought could happen with the December corn contract. It just hasn't yet.
Well, I think, and we talk a lot about the fund position, Darren. I mean, you look at where funds are. We look at the latest run of CFTC data from this past Friday. I mean, I'm sure that paints a pretty good picture of where things stand and maybe why we're not seeing some movement here in the row crops and wheat.
Yeah, what it does is it, you know, as the funds continue to add to their net short futures positions, yes, it puts pressure on it looking back, but what it does looking forward is, you know, just opens that door a little bit wider to the idea that, you know, we're going to get a round of short covering at some point. But we have to contrast that with, you know, with the seasonal tendencies. And here in, you know, late June through July and August, it's a bearish time of year for the grains sector as a whole. You know, we see corn and soybeans continue to fall. We don't see wheat, particularly the winter markets, bottom out until we get into late August and harvest bushels have been sold. So, you know, this is just a rough time of year. It's a bearish time of year for the various markets, cash, futures, whatever we want to look at. And it takes something extraordinary. It takes a change in supply and demand to move away, to post a contra-seasonal rally or a contra-seasonal move. And we'll have to see if that develops in corn, in new crop corn and new crop soybeans because of things like the flooding that's going on.
Very true. Very true. How about some of these outside markets, mm-hmm. Darren? Watching things there, crude's up slightly, gold's up slightly. Looked like the dollar was under some pressure to start the week. Hey, your thoughts in the outside markets right now?
Yeah, a lot of times when we start looking at some of these outside markets, some of these longer term investment markets, you know, we can really start to focus on them more as we get towards the end of the month. And I don't see anything, any changes in the long term on the long term monthly charts for a number of these. So, you know, with the dollar, we've run through all of the normal, you know, inflation numbers this month. We've had the, you know, FOMC meeting and so on, and yet the dollar stays relatively firm. So, I mean, that's just where we are. We've got U.S. stock indexes in the green, posting solid gains again to start this last week of June. So, I mean, The outside markets, for the most part, still look like they're adding strength overall. Still looks like, you know, all things are go. Long-term trends are going to stay in place. I just don't see anything changing right there. Kind of the wishy-washy one, I guess if we want to put it that way, could still be crude oil because we are moving up on a normal seasonal time of year when it starts to move lower. So we'll see how long this little buying that we've seen here of late, see how long it wants to last.
Darren, as we wrap up this segment, any thoughts, any nuggets you want to share with folks to take away in terms of what they need to watch with their risk management here as we look to the end of the month of June?
Yeah, you've already touched on it. We need to keep a close eye, not necessarily on the CFTC reports as they come out, but on the trends of the market. And, what we have to look for is some sort of reversal into a contra-seasonal move, because that tells us the supply and demand, or at least the outlook for supply and demand, is changing. So, as long as we just continue to grind lower, there's really nothing to see. But if we start to see some buying coming in, if we start to see some short covering, then we need to pay attention. We need to realize what that's trying to tell us.
Folks can find more information and reach out to you, DarrenNewsom.com. With that, Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst for Bar Chart. Always good to talk with you to kick off the show here on AOA this week. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Really appreciate you having me on again, Jesse.
All right, coming up next, Darren and I were talking quite a bit about the weather. We're going to get more updates on weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. He'll join us next here on AOA.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Everyone knows how important calcium-rich milk and dairy products are to building strong bones and teeth in children. But something you might not know, the calcium in milk has been shown to reduce hypertension in adults. So relax with a tall, cool one and raise a toast to good health and to your local dairyman.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work. And this June Dairy Month message is being brought to you by Synergy Co-op, your LS tractor dealer. Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Keeping
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, the weather story continues to be massive rainfalls in parts of the northwestern Corn Belt and plenty of heat and humidity and dryness to the east and south. And it looks like that weather pattern, at least to start the week, is going to continue with much of the same. Joining us now to talk weather, DTN meteorologist John Baranek is with us here on AOA. John, I'm sure you are no doubt extremely busy in this. We were talking during the commercial break. I mean, some of the pictures and video I've seen from northwest Iowa, southwest Minnesota, eastern South Dakota, a lot of our friends listening in on stations in that region and more. I mean, I'm thinking of folks, houses, businesses, crop loss, you name it. I mean, you know, for instance, I've never seen water that high in Spencer, Iowa, John. And I know, yeah, I mean, you've seen some of the similar things too. It's definitely, it's a tough situation with all the water that we've seen, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, if you got another hour or two, we could talk about everything that's been going on. I mean, there's been no shortage of weather concerns, but you know, just starting off with that flooding, just devastating. I mean, it's luckily for me personally, it was just south of me. But, you know, we saw this wide band of 4 to 8 inches of rain for southeastern South Dakota, southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, and even parts of Wisconsin and Michigan got in on some of that heavy rain, and northern Illinois as well. So, you know, the worst of it definitely was in kind of that southeastern South Dakota, southern Minnesota, northwest Iowa area. And, you know, when you're talking about 10 to 15 inches of rainfall in some of those spots there, that's just, it's devastating. Just what's happened. I mean, you just look at, you know, entire towns covered in water, you know, parking garages, you know, 6 feet high underwater, and some of the rivers out there that are just raging right now. Mm-hmm. And it's devastating, right? It's devastating. And it's hard to put into words really the kind of devastation that's happening out there for some of those folks. And, you know, your hearts really just go out to them, and that's all you can really do at this point. Hopefully, you know, they have some, disaster relief,
maybe, and disaster relief. Yeah.
You know, something to help them out, at least financially. But, you know, when you lose your home or your business or something like that, it takes a toll on you for years.
Very true. Very true. I mean, you mentioned too some of the pictures we've seen out Sioux Falls, Falls Park, and just everywhere you turn throughout that region. I guess the big thing now, John, is we look at things, we look at all this water. You know, what is the setup for this week? I thought I maybe saw some chances for more showers here this week in this same area. We also got heat building, and we're going to talk about it in a second. But, I mean, are we going to shut the spigot off for a while and give us a fighting chance to dry out here, John?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, we've got chances for showers and thunderstorms continuing across the region, though. It's a little bit different from last week. Last week, we had this ridge out in the east. That's what bumped up all the heat across the eastern Corn Belt. It had this stalled boundary up there in the northwestern Corn Belt, and that's what produced all the heavy rain. This week we're a little bit different. We're going to get some movement. We did see some movement of that ridge over the weekend that moved more towards the west, and that's why the plains are getting so hot here today, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But that changed our kind of storm track quite a bit here. Most of them now going through Canada, and that's a better situation. We still have cold fronts moving through here. We got one coming through today through the upper Midwest, and we'll see if that can produce some severe thunderstorms or not. There's some potential for that. I think the better chances are across maybe central and northern Minnesota and into Wisconsin. At least a little bit away from where that severe heavy flooding has been, but you know, these areas are wet anyway that they're going through, but there's potential that just, it doesn't happen at all. Really. I mean, we've got some thunderstorms out there from, North Dakota going into Minnesota. Those are dying out though. But we're going to be watching to see if thunderstorms this afternoon with a cold front coming through can really break through what we call a cap or a capping inversion across the upper Midwest. And if they can, then we could be talking about some significant severe weather. But it's kind of questionable whether or not they'll be able to do that here. But, you know, outside of that system here today, that front kind of goes through the entire Corn Belt for tomorrow and Wednesday. We get another system kind of following a similar track for Thursday through the weekend. But I think the good news is that, you know, we don't have stalled fronts. We've got moving fronts. And, you know, while we could see some showers and thunderstorms developing over these flooded areas, they should be moving instead of kind of training over the same area, you know, for hours on end. So, you know, it's a lot more light to moderate rainfall instead of heavy soaking, you know, 3, 4, 5 inches worth of rainfall. But, you know, these fronts do slow down as they get kind of towards the eastern and southern end of the Corn Belt. And we could be seeing some better precipitation there. I mean, we saw some over the weekend, but it wasn't a lot. I think we got a better chance this week of seeing at least a little bit something more meaningful for those areas that were really dry last week. And we saw kind of some flash drought start picking up in some of these areas. So I think it's a better look for the forecast here this week, but it's not great really for anybody, but it's better.
We're talking with DTED meteorologist John Baranek. Well, let's focus on the heat here a little bit, John. I mean, you look at the all hazards map to start the week Monday, heat advisories all the way from the Gulf Coast up through the Southern Plains, through the Central Plains into the upper Midwest, some of those areas that are inundated with water. I mean, stretch it all the way up there to southern Minnesota, eastern South Dakota, et cetera. You just look at this heat and humidity, even some excessive heat warnings thrown in there as well. So it's felt like we've kind of seen this ring of fire type effect start up a little bit here with all these showers going around, and then that cap, this heat dome, so to speak, kind of over the eastern and southern areas of the country. I mean, what's it looking like for this heat? Are folks going to get any reprieve this week from the heat?
And there you go. That's part two, Jesse. It's summertime, so we're talking about heat. And on the edge of where all these storm systems are moving, that's where our kind of ridge is. Now, last week it was in the eastern Corn Belt. Currently, it's out kind of in the west and in the plains, and that's what's causing all the heat and the heat advisories and some of the warnings that are out there. That'll be kind of stuck for the next couple of days, but we'll see that kind of shifting eastward here by late this week and kind of setting up in the southeast. So last week it was kind of in the eastern Corn Belt into the northeast. This week it's going to be a little bit farther south there, kind of anchored in the southeast. That's going to do a couple things. One, that's going to, it looks like it's going to be strong enough to deflect all these storm systems farther north. So Canada into the upper Midwest, getting the storm track. That'll be continuing that going into next week. And two, it kind of shuts down the Gulf of Mexico just a little bit. We're still able to get some of those, take the long route kind of through the Four Corners area and then into the Midwest. But, you know, some of that gets wrung out over Mexico and over the south, you know, the southwest. And so we don't have as much precipitate or moisture to work with these storm systems coming through. We're still going to get some, and it's but it's not as bad as it could be, I think, in terms of heavy rainfall in some of those areas that, you know, we've been talking about that had the flooding rain. But then, you know, that heat ridge sticking there, it looks like it's going to be a feature going into July. And we'll see if it can expand westward or if it stays kind of stuck there for a while. That's kind of questionable at this point, but that's where we're going to be seeing the heat, really the southern tier, while the northern tier sees these systems go by, and we'll see kind of temperatures fluctuating well above normal, and then kind of get some chillier air coming through. It's actually, we're looking at some cooler temperatures moving into the northern plains and the upper Midwest here over the weekend. I hate to say frost potential, but there may be some there, like in North Dakota and Montana, especially into the Canadian prairies, where we see some frost Saturday morning. That would be kind of interesting to see with all this heat we're talking about farther south.
John, how about South America or other issues around the globe real quick here? Any notes for us globally this week?
Yeah, just a kind of a small recap. We don't have a whole lot of concerns over South America. They're in the midst of their harvest of their Safrina corn crop. There is a front kind of down there, but it's not producing a whole heck of a lot of rainfall for them. And the heavy rain that we were looking at for kind of farther south in that state of Rio Grande do Sul that we talked about last month that got inundated, the forecast has turned drier for them, so it's not as concerning. We still have some issues in parts of Europe, but northwestern Europe, like France, Germany, which had been really wet, The forecast for them is much drier this week, so that's good news for them. Not a whole lot of precipitation for the Black Sea region, where drought is still an issue. And there's been a lot of talk about central China recently, with some heat and drought popping up there. It's kind of a limited area that's seen kind of some concerning weather, but there has been some concerning weather there as well. Looks like they'll pick up some showers this week, and it won't be as hot this week. So overall, the main concerns are right here in the U.S. this week. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Folks can find more DTNPF.com. For that, John Baranek, DTN meteorologist. John, thanks for joining us on AOA this week.
Thanks for having me on again, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, we'll talk with the VP of Producer Affairs for the National Cotton Council, Cass Smith. Join us next on AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home. They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Milk markets were mixed. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk up 15 to 1990, August up 21 to 2078, September up 12 to 2061, October down 1 to 2009. Live and feeder cattle markets were higher in the nearby months, lower in deferreds. The trade was mixed due to Friday's bearish on cattle on feed report, but was bullish due to the strength in demand and the cash markets. Hog markets were mostly lower as traders can't find any fundamental support to move the hog market higher, as cutout values were once again down $1.90. June live cattle up $1.30 to $188.90. August feeder cattle up 52 cents to $258.90. July hogs down $2.10 to $89.95. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn and wheat were mostly lower as the forecast looks to ease rains into the drier areas of the Corn Belt in the short term. Now, some flood damage is being assessed as well. Soybeans mostly higher. Soybean meal was solid on the product side. That helped to support soybean prices. Wheat markets lower on continued harvest pressure. New crop corn down 1.5 to 450 1¾. New crop beans up 10.5 to 1130 1/2. Chicago wheat, July down 9 to 552 1/2. Minneapolis wheat, July down 6¼ to 605 1/4.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osseoplastics.com.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for sticking with us here on the program. Well, late last week, I had a chance to sit down and catch up with Taz Smith, the VP of Producer Affairs for the National Cotton Council. We talked about some of the priorities of the Cotton Council, looking at the farm bill and more. Also, we got some updates on how this year's cotton crop is looking across the much of the southern U.S. and the Delta, etc. So let's listen into that conversation that I had again late last week with Taz Smith from the National Cotton Council here on AOA. Taz, welcome to AOA. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start. Give us an update on the cotton crop across the South in particular. How are conditions? What have you been hearing from growers here as we work through the season and into the summer months?
Well, Jesse, I think we're off to a very good start. We've got a lot of moisture in Texas right now. There's been some hail scattered a little bit around the high plains, but overall things are off to a really good start. We've got about 80% of the cotton crop planted belt-wide. The Southeast is off to a really good start as well. The Mid-South, we had a little bit of late planting due to some excessive moisture, but overall, I think things are off to a very good start across the belt.
Well, and that's a good thing. You know, I know in terms of the cotton markets, you know, been volatile as of late, things like that, but I know producers, for the most part here, looking for a good, solid year all around in terms of getting a good cotton crop here in 2024, aren't they, Taz?
They are. Market prices have really fallen since earlier this year. Cost of production have continued to skyrocket since COVID-19. So we're really in a situation where a lot of growers are underwater financially right now. So we're in a farm bill year this season. Hopefully we're going to get something done by the end of this year. But I think getting a new farm bill done is going to be very critical for growers to get the safety data in line more to where cost of production is currently.
Yeah, let's talk about that farm bill a little bit more. I'm glad you brought that up. Looking at the farm bill, I know we've seen some movement on a new five-year bill. We've been talking with lawmakers. We just talked on yesterday's show with Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas, the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee. What are NCC's thoughts on this farm bill situation, priorities moving forward? I know you mentioned that safety net is one. What have you heard from cotton growers, their needs, their wants in a new farm bill here, Taz?
Well, I think one of the most important things for our producers is to get the reference price more in line with cost of production. We've seen, as I mentioned, skyrocket since COVID-19. We've had two really good proposals right now. You mentioned Senator Bozeman, his proposal that was released last week will increase reference prices across the board by an average of 15%. That's good news for cotton producers. House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson, bill that was passed out of the committee back on May 27th, would increase that reference price for seed cotton from 36.7 to 42 cents. Really would get that reference price more in line to where cost of production is to right now, so where you'd have a good safety net for growers. When the futures market declines anywhere to kind of the 90 cent to less range, you would see a good safety net start to trigger for growers. And I think that's really what's needed right now. It's tough times for cotton farmers where cost of production is well to where the market prices are currently trading in the low 70s.
Well, of course, you know, trying to get a farm bill done is always a bit of a heavy lift, and it needs to be a bipartisan effort. And I know that we've had a lot of partisanship going on in D.C. right now. And, there's still some optimism, it feels like, about getting a farm bill done yet this calendar year. What have you heard in terms of that? Does it feel like we still can get some compromise to happen here and figure all these moving pieces out and get a farm bill done before the end of the year?
I'm optimistic, Jesse. I really am. I'm hoping after the elections, things will kind of calm down and you'll see a lame duck Congress try to work together, pass a budget, but also work to try to get a compromise on a farm bill. We were very excited in the House bill to see a bipartisan vote on that. We had two congressmen from the Cotton Belt states, Don Davis from North Carolina and Congressman Sanford Bishop from Georgia, vote for the bill in committee. So that's optimistic. That's positive news. I think on the House front, they're going to look to move in appropriations bills between now and in September. at that front, they we could see the House focus on a farm bill. But I think at the end of the day, most likely after the election, we'll see start to see some compromise between what the Senate puts forward and what the House Ag Committee has put forth in their compromise proposal.
We're talking with Taz Smith, the VP of Producer Affairs for the National Cotton Council, here today on AOA. Let's talk some other issues, Taz. Dicamba, I know, has been a big one for cotton growers and soybean growers here in the last few months. We're monitoring the situation in the courts. We got some new proposed labels, I know, in the news recently for cotton application. Any thoughts on this process and why it's important for farmers to have the use of over-the-top dicamba application for various cotton varieties?
It's very critical. It was really devastating for growers. We lost the dicamba label back on February the 6th. I will say EPA is really working well with us. They understand the need of this product, particularly for over-the-top post-emergence use. We have seen Bayer file a label on their Extendamax variety. That comment period has now closed. BASF has filed a label for their Ingenia variety. That comment period is open through July the 5th. So we're urging growers to make comment in support of those labels. The council is doing the very, very same thing. It's very critical that we have the mode of actions that we need for next crop to deal with pig weeds and Roundup resistant weeds. It's very, very critical. And we're urging EPA to approve these labels for next year without any mitigations that make the products unusable.
Well, and I think about this too, when it comes to dicamba and any product for that matter that's in the toolbox for farmers, when you start taking some of those proven tools out of the toolbox and limit the options that growers have to protect their crop, it makes things that much more difficult, doesn't it?
It does. And we've seen in the past, we've had to handpick pigweeds in the past. That's been a very big issue. But one of the things that the consumer needs to remember about these products, they do an excellent job of helping growers use less tillage, which keeps more carbon in it sequesters more carbon, which is very, very critical in this process. And the talk around climate smart agriculture is a big thing right now. And these are important parts of the toolbox to be able to continue to do those practices.
Definitely. Very, very true. Very, very true. Well, I know those are some of the issues we're watching. I know as well the National Cotton Council, you guys do a lot of education for producers. And I know one of those, the Producer Information Exchange Program. I just saw a note, the tour dates just announced. Can you tell us a little bit more about that program and more about that tour?
It's a great opportunity for growers, Jesse. I mean, it allows our producers to see how production practices are done across different parts of the belt. We've got two scheduled right now, a Western Power Tour that we're going to have Mid-South and Southeast regional growers traveling out west on July 28th through August the 2nd in California. We're also going to take Southwest and West regional growers over to Georgia on August the 4th through the 9th. One of the things about the council is very unique. We always want to speak with one voice as an organization. And when growers understand the different production practices, the challenges that growers are facing across different parts of the belt, it makes our job a lot easier and to continue to speak with that united voice. So it's a great opportunity for growers that are interested. We hope we'll get a lot of participation in that process.
Well, I'm sure if folks want to learn more about that tour or stay up to date on issues, take a look at various resources and more. I know cotton.org is a great place to start, isn't it, Taz?
It is. Cotton.org is our website. We have a lot of information there, a lot of policy information there for growers, education opportunities for growers there. So please check us out. We're happy to help any way we can. And Jesse, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, find more cotton.org. Taz, real quick, we just got about a minute or so. Anything else that we haven't mentioned or anything you want to reiterate for folks listening in today?
I really would encourage growers, cotton producers that are listening, to continue to engage your members of Congress about the ports of this farm bill. We've got to have some assistance this year to help the producer segment. And we've had 2 or 3 years now with no PLC payment for growers. It's been a challenge out there with these production costs. And I really continue to urge you to talk to your members of Congress, urge them to support this farm bill, get us a good safety net done by the end of this year.
Fantastic. I couldn't agree more. We definitely need to see a lot of that for our farmers and ranchers across the country. With that, Taz Smith, the Vice President of Producer Affairs with the National Cotton Council. Find them online, cotton.org. Taz, thanks for joining us on Agriculture of America today. We'll look forward to having you back on the show again soon.
My pleasure, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Once again, a great conversation there with Taz Smith from the National Cotton Council. Catch it up on all things cotton. And I was able to get some time with him late last week. And happy to bring you that interview here today on AOA. One news note I want to share before we get to the break. Senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa, Roger Marshall of Kansas, and others are pressing the Biden administration on the steps it's taking to address the recent surge of used cooking oil imports. Last year, the U.S. imported 3 billion pounds of used cooking oil, half of which came from China. That's up from a total of 200 million pounds imported in 2020. Now, the senators sent a letter to the EPA, USDA, the U.S. Trade Representative's Office, and Customs and Border Protection. They point out concerns by some in the renewable fuels industry that large amounts of imported UCOs may be a blend of UCO with virgin vegetable oils such as palm oil, which is directly linked to deforestation in Southeast Asia. That would constitute fraudulent value distortion of the commodity designed to take advantage of tax incentives, in addition to renewable identification number or RIN fraud under the RFS. Now, they want to ensure the integrity of clean fuel policy. So that's a situation that bears watching. We're going to keep our eyes on that. Again, a lot of talk of used cooking oil imports, a surge in that here from China in recent months. All right, coming up next here on AOA, we're not done. We're going to have a conversation with Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. We'll get her thoughts on the farm bill and a few other topics that she is watching, including service from Class 1 railroads. We're going to talk to Senator Tammy Baldwin on the way right after this timeout as we continue here on AOA, Agriculture of America, right after the break.
I'm Jenny.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Join Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to discover, taste, and celebrate Wisconsin dairy during June Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheese can be found in 99% of grocery stores across the country? Just look for the Proudly Wisconsin Cheese badge at your local grocery store to support Wisconsin family farms. Taste the finest Wisconsin dairy products across the state or visit a dairy breakfast on the farm to learn more about Wisconsin dairy.
This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer seed dealer serving Western Wisconsin.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
We're around the table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
"I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong."
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now here on the program, pleased to have a few minutes with Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. And Senator Baldwin, welcome back to AOA. Thanks for joining us. I hope you're doing well.
I am, and thank you for having me.
Let's start. We got a couple different things to talk about. Class one railroad issues, service issues with the railroads. This is a topic that we've been following here for quite some time on the show. And I know it's one that you have some concerns with as well there on Capitol Hill. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. Well, I'm certainly hearing from my constituents who use the freight lines for moving their products that they're getting really poor service. People who ship via rail are very, very frustrated. And at the same time, these big rail companies are making record profits and charging sky-high prices even for that poor service. What we're also seeing, and maybe the reason why we're seeing such poor service, is that railroads have cut their staff in recent years by nearly 30% if you look over a series of years. And so that contributes to the poor service levels for our farmers in Wisconsin and elsewhere. And it also affects safety, by the way, when we see these massive staff reductions. So in Wisconsin, we grow things and we make things. We have manufacturing sector and an ag sector, and they're really impacted by these moves. And in terms of action, I have authored several letters to the Class 1 railroads calling on them to address severe staffing shortages that are endangering workers. But I also have a measure that I've introduced called the Reliable Rail Service Act. It's a bipartisan bill that would help ensure that the largest freight railroads provide American businesses reliable services at reasonable rates, including helping ensure that railroad staffing is adequate to provide those reliable services.
Another topic for us here. I'm being mindful. I know we're short on time. Farm bill. Obviously, a lot of movement here, and there's been a lot of, we'll call them red lines on both sides of the aisle between Republicans and Democrats in the House and the Senate. Your perspective from the Democratic side of where this farm bill stands and what we need to do to get this across the finish line.
Yeah, so as we speak today, the House Ag Committee has advanced their bill out of committee. On the Senate side, we have received a blueprint from the committee's chairwoman, Debbie Stabenow, that I think is the direction we need to be going in. I feel like the House passed, or not House passed, but the committee passed version in the House really it lacks balance. And the sort of things that you have to balance in order to get broad bipartisan support. Meanwhile, our farmers want the certainty in a long-term, 5-year farm bill, and are affected by the fact that there are delays, and we're going from extension to extension rather than having the 5-year blueprint in front of everybody. My priorities in the bill really relate to several things that I've championed in the past. In the last farm bill, we started the Dairy Business Innovation Initiative. That is something that has helped small and medium-sized family dairy farms get ahead in times that are very challenging with lots of headwinds. I also care a lot about farmer mental health. And so the Farm and Ranch Stress Assistance Network is something that I am going to press to see maintained and reauthorized in the next farm bill. And lastly, our water quality. My Healthy H2O Act that I have introduced with my colleague, Senator Collins, is one that helps people who have private wells be able to test the quality of their water and get filtration if necessary. Basically this happens very routinely in municipal water systems, but people who live and use private wells have much more difficulty in assessing the safeness of their drinking water.
Real quick as well, you did introduce some legislation with Senator Mike Braun, the Farm Transition Act of 2024. This is farmland ownership related legislation that I know is very important as well. Could you give us a quick overview of that here before we run out of time?
Yeah, well, our farmland in Wisconsin is one of our most valuable assets. And we see a pivot point between generations of farmers transpiring right now. Many Wisconsinites interested in a career in agriculture are being locked out because of the cost of having to compete with Wall Street investment firms for buying up farmland. So our bill will establish a commission to study the issues impacting the transition of agriculture operations to the next generation of farmers and ranchers. Things like access to capital, transition assistance programs, and effective incentives. And they're going to make recommendations to address them. And this is really critically needed right now because we are seeing an aging of our farmers. We are seeing investment firms buy up farmland at higher rates than before. And so we don't want to lose that precious farmland. We want to make sure that people are in a position to get into farming and continue those rich traditions.
Well, I know you are on a tight schedule. Very much appreciate the time. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. Senator, thanks for being with us on AOA today. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Once again, great conversation there with Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin joining us here today on AOA. Well, we are up against the clock. We're out of time. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll talk with Indiana farmer and United Soybean Board Director Don Weiss. We'll get an update on spring growing conditions in the Eastern Corn Belt and more. We'll also talk about some new rice technology that could be beneficial for rice farmers in the U.S. for climate smart agriculture. Tyler Hull with AgriCapture is going to join us to tell us more about that. We'll also talk with Alyssa Cho from Foreground by Bayer. All that and more coming up tomorrow on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
And we're back, looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
This message brought to you by Operation Lifesaver.
Looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders, the skilled.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.